morning and greetings in Jesus' name. Blessing to be together again, isn't it? We had quite the week. Cold and snow, and all of a sudden the weather's changing again and the warm's coming and snow's moving on. It'll come again soon, I'm sure. But, have some nicer weather here. So thank the Lord. It's a blessing to be together and trust we can continue to have an edifying, encouraging, and enriching time here this morning. I'm very blessed by different things Joe and I sharing about the brokenness and the need to say no to self. As you were reading that list, brother, I was just evaluating one after the other, and I can't say that myself is all gone. I felt pretty needy going down through that list. I just confess that I desire for more there. I really do. And those footprints, that was a blessing. We do leave footprints, don't we? We really do. Children do, and us adults do as well. We leave footprints. Could we kneel together to pray? Oh God, our Father, we are before you again this morning with thankful hearts for the blood of Jesus that has washed our sins away. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who came and gave his life for us so that we could have eternal life, so that we could be this brand new person. Lord, we're so grateful for all that. Thank you for the Word of God that never changes. Thank you, Lord, that we can gather here in this way this morning and sing the songs of Zion, and we think of the future of being with you, Lord, and we desire for that day. We desire to be with you. But God, we know that we here are the kingdom of heaven now here on the earth. We know that we are a part of your kingdom here, and we ask, Lord, that your kingdom could grow and it could multiply and it could go forth in power and strength and help us to live lives that are pleasing and honor and glorify you. Lord, I ask that you would give me clear thoughts. Give me an anointing from heaven. Oh God, I ask that the words that I speak would inspire us and it could give us cautions and warnings that would help us in our, as we walk this daily life, that we could be pleasing to you. So Lord, we commit this time to you. You're a good God. In Jesus' name, amen. For quite some time, I've been considering sharing on this subject and haven't been sure when is the right time to be doing that or what to share. Not the kind of subject that we want to focus on, is it? And yet, it's reality. The title is Witchcraft Hidden in Our Culture Today. It's a title. Witchcraft hidden in our culture today. And I believe it's one of those things that it's good for us to be aware of the teachings in the Word of God, as well as be aware of the things we face and the things that surround us that we need to be careful with daily. Because there are some of these things that are around us. Maybe some aren't as aware as others, but some of these things are around us and we bump into them. Just here and there, it happens. We do bump into some of these things. So if you could turn with me in your Bible, I want to just read a couple verses here in the beginning. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, maybe as an opening scripture. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. And by the way, what I'm going to share here this morning will only be scratching the surface. Very much so. We want to look at some scriptures. We want to look at some of the things practically that are around us today that we need to be careful, etc. But it'll be in comparison to the whole subject, it's very brief. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 says these words, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." That's one side of him. The other side is in 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 14 and 15 say, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Isn't that right? Sometimes he transforms himself into an angel of light. "Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." So sometimes Satan comes as a roaring lion, and other times he comes as an angel of light, and everything looks so good and so right, and its appearance, sometimes we don't see what's really behind it. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 18 to look at a couple verses here. I'd like for us to consider that witchcraft is an abomination to God. There's a lot of other sins that are horrible, horrible sins that the Bible says that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And it's the kind of sins that separate us from God. It's totally against the character and righteousness of God. But witchcraft, God said that witchcraft is an abomination. It's not only a sin, it's an abomination. An abomination is just a step farther. It's something that God utterly hates. And this is why. Witchcraft enters into the realm of worship toward the devil. It enters into us actually accessing some of his, using some of his powers to accomplish and do things. And that's a form of worship. And that's why God said that it's an abomination to God. Deuteronomy chapter 18. We want to read a number of verses here. Maybe starting to read in verse 9, it says, "And when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found any among you that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire." A part of what they used to do was that they would offer an offering to idol gods, and they would take a son or a daughter, a little child, and they would offer it as a sacrifice. This is what it's talking about. "There shall not be found any of you that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination." Divination is finding out the unknown. through some medium or some means is divination, finding out the unknown. We'll talk about that word. Just remember that word. We're going to talk about it more later. Finding out the unknown. Or that uses divination or an observer of times. An observer of times, something like the horoscope. Today is the horoscope and the zodiac signs, and some people plant in signs. But an observer of times. Or an enchanter or a witch. These things are actually all around us. Witches and some of those things, I've talked to them. They're in our communities, all those kind of things, but they're undercover. They're largely undercover. Occasionally we meet some of these people, but they are around us. We're just not as familiar with them, but they are here. Or a charmer or a consulter with familiar spirits like in Saul's situation, or a wizard or a necromancer. Might also just put in here this word necromancer. One thing we have today is a ventriloquist. A ventriloquist actually comes from the word necromancer. Ventriloquist actually comes from that word. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Here God is saying that I'm going to give you the land of Canaan, and I'm going to make you a mighty nation. But it's because these people are involved in these abominations and wickedness that God's going to destroy them and drive them out from among you, and he's going to give the children of Israel an inheritance. Then he also goes on, this is an interesting thing here, thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God, for these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observer of times and unto diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. Now, verse 15 is actually a prophecy about Jesus. It says, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. I like that verse because it's a prophecy of Jesus right on the heels of all this, prophecy of Jesus. So, witchcraft is an abomination. And if the Lord calls something an abomination, do you think he changes his mind when it comes to our day-to-day? He doesn't. He doesn't change his mind. Those things are still an abomination. In fact, God said that thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. That's how strong some of those things were. God had a very clear words of judgment for those who are involved in these kind of things. There's many, many scriptures in the Old Testament that we could look at. I want to look at a couple in the New. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. In verse 19, it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. It's mentioned right there with idolatry. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's in Galatians. Turn with me to Revelation 21. Let's look at a verse there. Revelation 21. I think we'll just read verse 8 maybe. It says, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers. Sorcerers, I remember this word, sorcerers. Sorcery is using sorcery for healing. It comes into the line of healing powers. Using sorcery to heal. There's a good bit of that being done in this community as well. Divination and sorcery, there's a lot happening in our midst by many professing Christians. Whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's how God views those sins. It's pretty serious, right? And let's look at another verse. We'll see what the early church did about these kind of things. Turn with me to Acts chapter 19. And again, we're only pulling a couple verses out of the New Testament, and there's a lot more that we could have looked at. Acts chapter 19. And I want you to especially notice how they viewed it, what they did about it, and the blessings of God that came down upon them after they did God's will. Notice that as we read these verses. Acts chapter 19, verse 17 through 20. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And they came, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, this is this witchcraft that we're talking about, they used curious arts, brought their books together, and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it to be, and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Now look at the next verse. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Right after they had this cleansing where they brought their paraphernalia together, their books and the witchcraft, they brought these curious arts, they brought them all together and they got rid of them. And it's like there's a freedom and the blessing of God opened up on these people's lives. That was the response that they had in the early church. That's how they viewed it. They took care of these things and they got rid of it. And then the blessing of God was there. And it says that the word of God grew mightily in their midst. That's a blessing. Reaching out to spiritual powers for help enters into the level of worship. And that is why witchcraft is such an abomination to God. That's why. Because we are looking to another source for help. For assistance, for power, it's a form of worship. Witchcraft is worship to Satan. You know what Satan said to Jesus in one of the last temptations when Satan came to Jesus? And, you know, Satan said, you fall down before me and worship me, and I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. That's what Satan is looking for. Satan is looking for worship. He's looking for us to look to him. You fall down and worship me, and I'll give you stuff. Well, that's what's happening with a lot of the witchcraft that you see Satan is giving people things in exchange for their worship. And it's putting strongholds and bondages in people's lives that are extremely detrimental and will affect people spiritually in a mighty way. And I won't go into much of that, but it does. I like to just go through a list. I compiled a list, and I've done this. I've sort of compiled this list over many years. You know, it seems like from time to time you bump into something else, and so over the years I've just compiled a list of things that are that most of them we're familiar with, most of them that we know about. And some of us have been involved in some of these things and have repented, and we thank God for that. We're grateful for that. That's a blessing that God opens our eyes. But I like to just go down through this list and just name some of these things. And this is by no means an all-extensive list, but I like to just name some of these things. You know, it's good to name things, right? It's good to name things to bring an awareness of the things that are around us and that we face. Because a lot of it, I purposefully entitled it Witchcraft Hidden in Our Culture Today. Because you go to places like Haiti and Africa and some of these countries, these things of witchcraft are done openly. It's an open thing. But much of what we see in our society today, in this community, in America, much of what we see is hidden. Much of what we see is hidden to some extent. And other names are used rather than the real names to give it a better appearance. Many of these things are somewhat hidden. And I'd like to just name many of these things to create an awareness, not to bring fear. The last thing I want to do this morning is bring fear. I want to talk about some of those things in the end, but I'll just name some of these things. Homeopathic medicines. And if I use that name, I also realize that homeopathic is a name, and they also use some herbs with that, but there are things, and I don't have time to go into details, the things they do with these medicines that's wrong. I don't have time to go there, but homeopathic labels, stay away from them. It's not from God. Yes. On the homeopathic specifically, you will have 10X, 5X, those kind of things. Those are the specifics that are created by homeopathic, by the company. They also put their label on some other medicines or some other herbs that aren't necessarily wrong, but it can be confusing to sort through that. So herbs in themselves, nothing wrong with normal herbs. Herbs are good. God made herbs. They're a blessing for us. We can use them. But here, what I'm specifically talking about is homeopathic things that they do their things with. Or anything, I would stay away from anything that has homeopathic on it, to make it simple. Yes, they always have the word homeopathic on. They do. Iridology. Reflexology. Acupressure. Water witching or dowsing. if they get good at it, they can actually go on maps and find water and oil on maps, and you know, there, that's how it works. It's a medium. Drawing pain. Someone puts his hand on someone else because they have pain, and the pain comes from that person into another or into yourself. Essential oils. Yoga. Aromatherapy. The chai machine. Radionics. Powwowing. Planting in signs. Muscle testing. The planting in signs, people will look at the calendar, and they will plant their corn, they will plant their crops, they will plant their garden in a certain moon sign for better crops. Using the horoscope and zodiac signs, and it's actually in some of the local papers that are passed around. It's in there. Muscle testing. Testing your muscles with herbs or something in your hand to see if it's good for you or not. I should back up on this. Okay. Sorry, I'll leave that. Using a pendulum or a fingernail clipper to discern illness or to discern whether something is a male or a female before it's born, or to prescribe herbs, pendulum or fingernail clipper, various things are used. Reading scripture backwards to stop bleeding, especially Ezekiel 16. Magnets for healing. Ouija board. Acupuncture. Palm reading. Fortune teller. Or fortune telling. Harry Potter. Lord of the Rings. Crystal ball gazing. Halloween. Biofeedback. In the charismatic world, there's various things with that too. Being slain in the spirit is demonic. I want to be careful with the other two here, but in the charismatic world, some of the speaking in tongues is also demonic. Some of the speaking tongues is hype, and some of it is real. Lord, help us to discern all that. The Bible is clear that God does give the gift of speaking in tongues. But that's real. Some of that is demonic, as well as healing. Some of those healings are demonic. If someone gets healed, it's a little bit like the healing of the drawing pain. There's something, it gets replaced by something else. When God heals someone, there's healing. There's not repercussions and other things involved with it. But if it's not from God, sometimes there's a shift, and then they have something else in place of it. The Mason religion is extremely demonic. Holistic medicines. And if I say holistic, I'm talking about treating your body, soul, and spirit, the whole package. They treat the whole thing. Holistic medicines. rock music, emo culture, healing warts. There's people that do certain things with warts that come into the witchcraft line, fire blowing, kinesiology, levitation, haunted houses, Beanie Babies, Cabbage Patch dolls, and some energy drinks like Monster. There's a lot more, but those are these right here. I bumped into all of these already with people that we have worked with and communicated over the years. These are things that are prevalent. They're around. People are involved with them. And on the thing of the ventriloquist, there are people who say that that's just a natural thing. But let me just read you just a short part of an article of someone that practices ventriloquism. And he's actually, in this article, he's defending ventriloquism and saying that it's just a normal, natural thing that anyone can learn. But let me just read you a short part of this article. This is what it says. This is on how to throw your voice and all those kind of things. It cannot, however, be denied that the stock in trade of the clever ventriloquist is so unusual and superior to that of his fellow worker in any other branch of entertainment that he is capable of producing the most humorous and arresting situations. Now, this is what I want you to notice. Moreover, it is a power which once gained can never be lost. And although a ventriloquist may, for various reasons or causes, give up the pursuit of his favorite subject for a period of many years, yet he can pick it up again at the point where he left it and find himself still possessed of the same wonderful and extraordinary skill. But he says here, moreover, it is a power which once gained can never be lost. What is that power? I would say that it's possible that there are points with it all that maybe it might not be totally, and I won't throw all that away. And yet, if you look up the word ventriloquist, that word comes from necromancer. It also threw out a caution. When we go to places like Walmart, I walked through there last evening, and here some time ago I had walked through, and there was some very specific demonic items, like the horned owl and various occultic items on the shelf. I didn't see them last night. It's probably not the right season for them. But there are things even on the Walmart shelves that are very occultic. Be careful. Witchcraft will always be accompanied by fear, conflict, and depression. Various degrees of it. Various degrees of it. It depends on the depth of your involvement. But you will always find those three: fear, conflict, and depression, to a lesser or greater degree. I chose to share just a couple little stories, excerpts that I've bumped into. There are once I started going through and listing all the things we've been involved in over the year, the list is pretty long. But I've chosen to just mention four to give you an idea of some of the things that can happen and that do happen. I received a call one day, and this was a man from out of our community, and he asked a question. He said, I just moved into a house in our community, and he said, I'm not sure what to do or think. I moved. He said, in our community, this house is known as a haunted house. And he said, I moved in here with all good faith and intentions that we could go in, and because we're believers, the Lord's going to protect us and take care of us. But he said, after we're here, we have all kinds of problems. In our children, there's rebellion. He said, there's much more fear than they ever had before. He said, there's bedwetting. There's just mysterious things that, and he said, what can we do about it? And I shared with him that there is a need to just simply go throughout the house and get rid of any and all articles that would have possibly pertained to any occultic practice. Get rid of it. And then just ask God to come and to get rid of those evil spirits and to bring His presence in and to place His hedge around you. I didn't hear anything for a long time. I saw him maybe a year or two later, and I asked him about it. And he said this way. He said, we did what you told us, but he said, it didn't stop. We continued to have these problems. We finally moved out, and it's been different since then. So I asked him the question. I said, was there things on the outside on the property that were used in these occultic practices? He thought for a while. He said, yeah, actually there were. He said, come to think of it, he said, back on the back edge of a property, there was some big rocks, and it's a place where we used to roast hot dogs. He said, our family would sit on these rocks, and we roast hot dogs. And he said, on those rocks, there was these engravings on the rocks, and they were, come to think of it, they were occultic. That must have been at the root of why those evil presences did not leave. He ended up moving, not realizing that there were still some things that they had not dealt with and taken care of. Everything was fine. After they moved, things came back to normal again. I received a call from a brother in church a number of years ago. And he said, I'm not sure what to think. He said, our home has just gone upside down. Prior to this, they had brought some children into the home to take care of them. Everything was fine before that, but bringing these children in the home, all of a sudden things started happening. There was eyes in the windows after dark. There was creaking on the stairs, on the upstairs. There's doors closed, opening and closing. There was lots of fear, and I started asking questions. Come to find out, they had Cabbage Patch dolls that these children brought along. And not only one, but many of them. Many Cabbage Patch dolls. And we spent time with them. We took them all out on the fire and we burned them. We combed the house. I tried to make sure we had everything. We prayed. And a couple days later he said, things really haven't changed. And I brought up, are you sure there's no other articles that they brought along? They went looking and they found one more Cabbage Patch doll. They got rid of it. They prayed and everything was fine. It's gone. fear was gone. The stuff, the mysterious stuff that was going on, is gone. Some years ago, we had a brother coming to church, and one day he was talking to me, and he said, "You know," he said, "I've been involved with various things, but," he said, "I've got a lot of electricity," and he said, "I can't even wear a watch." He said, "I can't wear a watch in my pocket or on my wrist." He said, "If I have it on me, in a matter of a week's time, it stops." You know, first the time gets wacky and it doesn't keep accurate time anymore, and then after a while, it'll just stop on me. He said, "I've got that much electricity," and I started asking more questions. And here, in his bygone days, he had been involved in various witchcraft occultic practices. He was open. We spent time together. He prayed and cleared himself before the Lord, and after that, he could wear a watch. I got a call here, I'm sure 3 or 4 years ago. I got a call. This is from a man outside of the church. He called me, and actually a friend of his called me. And they were seeking help. He said, "My brother," he said, "he functioned normally and he was a normal man. Everything was normal. But," he said, "in the last couple months, there's horrible things happening." And he said, "Today, he's extremely suicidal." He said, "He lives in horrible fear and he's just a wreck. You know, what can be wrong? What's happening?" And I agreed to sit down and spend some time with him. And come to find out that this young man had, in the past 6 months, he had obtained a girlfriend. And this girlfriend was into various occultic practices. Ouija board, palm reading, rock music. I'm not sure what all they were, but various occultic practices. And we spent a number of hours with him, and he just opened his heart, and it actually seems like that's a place where he ended up getting converted that day. But he totally repented of all those sins. He made a decision to quit that friendship with that lady. They were not involved in any immorality between them, but there was a friendship there and spending time in various involvements. And from that day forth, he was a changed man. It's all free. He's a free man. He's still walking with the Lord and doing well. Those are just four. I could give you many, many more. But I just share these things to help us to realize and to comprehend that these things definitely do affect us. Some to a greater extent, some to a lesser extent. But many of these things are hidden in our culture, hidden in our, you know, and many people view them as, it might not be the greatest thing to do, but it's not that bad. Here are some of the arguments that I hear at times. People will say, "Well, it works." People will say that. I've heard that many, many, many times. It works. Well, sure, it works. But from what power, what's the power that makes it work? What's the power that makes it work? And my grandpa used to do these things. Surely he didn't go to hell. I've heard that many times. My grandpa used to do that. Surely he didn't go to hell. I don't know. We're not here to judge those things. But we are here to look at the Word of God. We are here to look at the Bible and try to follow it to the best of our understanding and do what it says, right? And to be clear of these things. I've been asked various times, I'm sure all of you have met people over the years that have come to a place where they're just out of control. They're demonic. You can call it demon-possessed, or you can call it, you know, whatever you want to. But I'm sure most of us have met some of these people. And the question comes, how did they get to that place where they are? That's a question that frequently comes. I just wrote down a couple things. One is involvement in witchcraft. Either themselves practicing it or parents practicing it and having this young person involved at a young age to some extent. And then you know, sometimes there's even things that there's parents die and there's things that get passed on. Those things are very real. They happen. But involvement, yeah, that's one way. I've also seen some situations, a couple, where a person simply had unforgiveness in his heart. And if I say unforgiveness, I've seen a couple of situations where a person, something dramatic happened, and there was such a strong resentment and unforgiveness that settled in on that heart, and it was there for quite a period of time, to where it ate on him. And you know what Hebrews talks about, that root of bitterness, and that root of bitterness finally opened themselves up to the demonic realm. I've seen that a couple of times. I've also seen some mental breakdowns that has opened a person to some of those things, as well as playing with drugs. I've seen that many times. And I'm sure there's many others. Those are just a couple that I've seen, and my lists are not at all inclusive. They're just some of the things that I've observed and experienced in my short time. But there's probably many other things, but those are a couple. When people get into some of those situations, their normal way out is to use medication. That's the way of the world, and the church has largely adopted that method as well of using medication. Now here's a question. How can we free ourselves from these works of darkness? If you sit here and you wonder, well, you know, I did that one time and it didn't work, but I tried it one time. Or maybe you're involved and you've wondered about them. And how do I get free? First John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Acts chapter 2, verse 28 says, repent. That means to turn away from it. It means to confess, to repent. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 2 talks about renouncing the hidden things of dishonesty, and it gives a whole list there. Renouncing, just verbalizing, I want to get free of this stuff. Just in short, Number one, acknowledge your involvement. Acknowledge your involvement in witchcraft and sin. Number two, repent and confess to God, asking forgiveness and turn away from it. Number three, renounce, verbalize our position. make it a clear position that you are turning away from these things. And you're turning away from them. You're repenting. Verbalize with your mouth your decision to turn away from these abominations and turning to God. Number four, destroy any wrong items in your possession. There is some false teachings tied into this whole idea of witchcraft and things. I'll just name two of them here. There's more, but I'll just name two. Here's some. If we can't get rid of a sin, you know, there's sometimes that people struggle to get rid of, how to get rid of a sin. There is this teaching that says, you know, you have to cast out the evil spirit of that, whether it's a spirit of alcohol or the spirit of lust or the spirit of whatever. That's wrong teaching. We need to repent of our sin. We need to turn away from it. There is a place, and you know, Jesus cast out evil spirits, and there is a place for some of those things, but there is this teaching that that you need to cast out these different sins or these different spirits behind alcoholism and you know, it's the sins of the flesh that we need to turn away and repent from. That's false teaching. Here's another one. There's a teaching that says that it's the blood of Jesus that protects us. That's not a scriptural position. The blood of Jesus washes our sins away, but it's the power and spirit of Jesus Christ that we have authority and power. The blood has power in washing sins away, but there's no biblical stance for the blood covering us as a protection. Job talks about a hedge of protection. Jesus, if you go through the gospel, there's power and authority in the name of Jesus, but the blood washes our sins away. Now, as a warning, I'd like for us to just consider, the reason for me sharing this message, my desire is to just bring an awareness. It's not the thing to do for us to go looking for. It cannot and it dare not be a focus. Our focus has to be on Jesus Christ. There's a place for us to look at you know, if we've committed sins, if we're involved in these things, we need to get rid of them, but it dare not be a focus. Our focus needs to be on Jesus Christ, right? That's where our focus needs to be. So my goal and desiring in sharing this is to just simply create an awareness. To create an awareness so we walk circumspectly as wise and not as fools, and we don't get ourselves into these problems. There's lots more that I could say about it, but I think I'll just stop with that. I would like to